my kid once. I was at a Royals game. We'd gotten some pretty good seats. Back in those days, they didn't win very much, so it wasn't hard to get good seats. She wasn't very old. She was about six, but she was old enough that she was beginning to appreciate what we were doing. She could understand the game, and we could talk about it and the players. And around the third or fourth inning, we got up to go get concessions, because it's not a baseball game without peanuts and popcorn and Cracker Jacks. We walked up the stairs and onto the concourse, and right there was a vendor. I stopped to ask her what she wanted. She wanted one of the big pretzels. And I got a bag of peanuts and one of those $12 sodas. We got our stuff, and I handed her the bag of peanuts to carry. It was in a bag, so she couldn't spill it. That seemed like a safe bet. I gave her the peanuts. I picked up the pretzel, the soda. And what I realized happened later is this. As we're both standing there at the counter, I turned to my left because we needed to go back to these stairs right here. She turned to her right and saw a set of stairs here. I walked to the stairs, and as I got there, I turned to see if she was going to need to hold my hand to walk down them. And she wasn't there. Now, while this was long before the days of sellout crowds, there's still 8,000 to 12,000 people on even a bad day at the stadium. And it seemed like all 8,000 of them suddenly were in that area. As I looked for my child, there is a panic in that moment. It's involuntary. It comes from the fight or flight response buried deep in our animal brains. My heartbeat increased. My forehead broke out in sweat. My breathing got rapid. My eyes began to quickly scan the crowd around me. Where was she? Had someone grabbed her? Had she wandered off looking this way? And that, my senses accelerated and heightened. I was aware of all the sights and sounds and smells around me all of a sudden, searching. And then I hear in the din a sweet elderly woman's voice say, "Are you okay, honey? Are you lost?" They were less than 20 feet from me at that other set of stairs. This kind woman had noticed a six-year-old child by herself at a ball game and stopped to make sure she was okay. I will never forget that feeling in that brief, fleeting moment, that hopelessness and despair and worry and frantic desperation. It all came rushing out in milliseconds when I noticed that she was lost. So I understand Mary and Joseph just a little here. They had come to Jerusalem, to the temple, for the festival of the Passover. This large gathering drew Jews from all over the Middle East area to Jerusalem for the celebration. Mary and Joseph and Jesus had traveled with a large group from their town, friends and neighbors and family members. Traveling together was safer. And now the festival was over. It was time to head home. The group gathered up to start out in the preordained meeting place. Everybody got there, and off they went. They made it a day before someone asked, "Hey, where's Jesus?" There is that initial dread as they begin to ask the other children if they know where Jesus is. The other parents shake their heads, say they haven't seen him, and you can see in their eyes for just a moment the quickest glimpse of relief that it isn't their child. And then that flash of guilt and grief that they would take solace in such a dreadful condolence. As the search party grows, The horrid realization sets in. He is not with the group. They head back to Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph, probably some close friends and family, come along to help search, all of them silently praying that this doesn't end like they fear it will end. They search for 3 days. I cannot even begin to comprehend the fear and the anxiety his parents were feeling. I lost my kids for 30 seconds and I almost broke down. 3 days they searched. And then on the third day, maybe Mary remembered what had happened with Jesus' birth. The angel proclaiming this thing that would occur, the shepherds showing up the night of his birth to say they had been sent by a choir of angels. The wise men who came a couple years later unexpectedly bringing expensive gifts. The encounter with Simeon when Jesus was presented as a child in the temple. Perhaps she remembered all these things and she turned to look at the temple built on the highest point of Jerusalem. She thought, maybe. Of course, they find him there, talking with the rabbis and the teachers and the scribes, not being lectured to, but lecturing them on God and spirit and faith. They run up to him, tears in their eyes. His mother, overwhelmed with this joy that she has found her baby, his father, ready to beat him. It's always the reaction, right? Mom's always happy you're safe. Dad's like, you're an idiot. Jesus, why would you do this to us? And he calmly looks up at them both, quizzically wondering what the hubbub is. And he says, why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Jesus didn't know he was lost. He was right where he was supposed to be, right where he always is, in his Father's house, in his temple, in his church. Sometimes we lose Jesus too. I didn't go to church from the time that I was 18 years old until I was about 27. I don't have a dramatic story for this Exodus. There was nothing happened to me in the church that drove me off. No elder was mean to me. Nothing occurred that caused me to leave. I simply didn't go. I graduated from high school. I went to college. Most of my college Sundays were spent recovering from my college Saturdays. When Jackie and I first got together and moved to St. Louis, we worked Monday through Saturday at bad, low-paying jobs trying to scrape together a living. And Sunday was our only day off, so we slept in and lounged around on Sundays. It wasn't a total loss. There were times we would go back to visit our parents and we'd go to church with them because we were there on Sunday and they were going to church, so sure. Why not? We'll go to church too. But we didn't go on our own. We had lost Jesus, and we weren't looking very hard to find him. Until we had Abby, my daughter. When she was born, both of us realized all of a sudden that something was missing. Something that had been there when we were children was not there now, and it was Abby that was the catalyst for us to start looking for a church home. Sometimes we lose Jesus and we notice it right away. We can feel that we're unmoored, untethered, unanchored, like we're drifting about aimlessly. We can feel it in our souls. Something is amiss. We frantically reach out for connection, for hope. We simply flounder about, unsure of where to go next, where to look next. Maybe we even try to find Jesus. In a church, we try this one and that, listening to sermons and prayers and songs and waiting for that aha moment when we can say that we have found Jesus again, but often there is no "he was lost and now is found" moment. Sometimes we lose Jesus and we don't notice it. Our focus, our attention is somewhere else. On money or relationship or some other seemingly over-important priority. We're drifting, but because we're distracted. We just don't feel it as deeply. Driving into church this morning, the highways were fine, but they were wet. Anytime I'm driving on wet pavement, I'm aware of a phenomenon called hydroplaning. It's when you're driving on water, not very much water, just a small film of water. And what can happen is if you go fast enough, your tires quit touching the pavement, and they are literally like a speedboat floating on that thin film of water. A lot of times you won't notice this is happening until you try to turn. Since your tires aren't actually touching the ground, which they need to push off of in order to turn you, turning becomes sliding, skidding, crashing. Your momentum carrying you this way when you wanted to go this way. When we lose Jesus and we aren't aware that we've lost him, often we're going along just fine, and then something happens. Somebody gets sick. Somebody loses a job. Somebody dies, and we try to turn, and we realize we're in trouble. And we skid out of control. When the realization that we have lost Jesus hits us, we panic, and we worry, and we fret. What are we going to do now? How will we ever find Jesus again? What if we don't find him? How do we do this without Jesus? The skin deepens and we begin to spin and swerve, and we don't know what to do. And then so often we find Jesus in the last place we look. We find Jesus in God's church, not a physical structure such as this, but in his Father's house, in the body of Christ, in the hearts of God's people. He was there all along. He was always there waiting for us to find him. We find him in the kind words of a stranger, in the loving hand of a friend, in the stalwart faith of a grandparent, who I would bet you a time or two on their journey discovered they had lost Jesus, but now knew where to find him. He was always there, near us, in the hearts and spirits of those around us. We just couldn't see him. We weren't looking in the right place, but we should have known. He never really leaves us. We lose sight of him because we get off track, but he told us he would always be there. In Isaiah this morning, "But now, says the Lord, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. When you are lost, I am right there with you. You are precious." Jesus is right